It's time for the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW. North Posey football, all season long, is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Becker Heating, Air, and Insulation, Expressway Jeep, Crane Credit Union, Holders Furniture, Expressway Chevrolet, JT's Hardware, Nix Industrial, Smith Ceiling and Asphalt Maintenance, the Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, and the Coach's Show is hosted by Straw Scoops at 29 West Main Street in Poseyville. And now here's your host, Jordan Fisher.
Welcome into the North Posey Football Coaches Show live from Straw Scoops in Poseyville, Indiana. A Tuesday edition here as we had a little bit of a schedule mix-up yesterday. No big deal. And we will recap the football season for North Posey this year with head coach Waylon Schenck, who joins me once again. And, Coach, thanks again for joining us. Thanks for joining us throughout the entire season. It's been great being able to follow this football team for now the third season overall and the second season we've been doing this Coaches Show. Just really want to lead off with that. Just a pleasure to always have you on here.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We love doing it. It's fortunate that we are blessed to have a small town radio station that'll cover these kids and give them all the publicity that I think they deserve.
So I know when we were on the coach's show last week, you had mentioned that the only four losses you guys had suffered been all to good opponents. And again, you guys ended up dropping the game against South Vermillion 38-36. We were kind of talking about it off the air, but another quality opponent, somebody that was ranked in the top five, they certainly had a very good passing attack. I think we both kind of expected to be good, but I don't know if we expected to be that good because Garzolini threw for 400 yards and five touchdowns. But what was your just general thoughts on the entire game? I mean, it was a high-scoring game. I felt like it was a fun, action-packed game. It was a really back-and-forth affair between two pretty good teams in 2A.
Yeah, I mean, we thought it would be a good game. It was a great high school football game, especially if you were a spectator.
Yeah.
Maybe not as a coach, but, the Garzolini kid was really good, really accurate. Our game plan was try to get to him, and I think we sacked him six times. But when we didn't get to him, man, he was accurate and did a great job of kind of reading our coverages and finding open guys. And, the wire kid coming into the game was their third leading receiver, and we had kind of game planned to take away their number one and number two, and he went to his number three guy who had a lot of one-on-one matchups just because of how we were playing our defense, and they hurt us, and I was really proud of how our guy. I mean, we kind of led for the majority of the game, and then when we did go down, we always answered, and had a tough call there on the goal line where we felt like we recovered a fumble and returned it, and our guys could have quit when they did score. They end up giving them a touchdown, and our guys responded really well with putting together a drive and going down and scoring with 44 seconds left to take the lead. And, my initial thought when we first scored was, man, we scored too early. I really didn't anticipate scoring from the 7-yard line. I thought it'd take us a couple downs there, and we were, kind of called some plays that thought, all right, we're going to pound it 2 or 3 yards here. It's what we told our guys in the huddle. Let's get 2 or 3 yards. We had some timeouts, and we'll score with very little time left. And Jed was just too good. He ran right through there and scored. We left a little time on the clock, and, the 44 seconds we left on the clock, I think, turned into about 55 seconds.
It felt like an eternity.
Yeah, it felt like the longest 44 seconds of my life. But, really proud of our guys and how they competed and overcame some huge obstacles in terms of travel and being able, playing on the road, and they didn't quit till the very end.
So I know you guys both got off to a bit of a slow start to the game, if I recall correctly. I think it was they struck first, and then you guys had answered back, and then it kind of felt like it was back and forth that way. You guys ended up taking a lead, and actually on that second touchdown, that was a designed call in the 2-point conversion, wasn't it, on the fake field goal?
Yeah. We knew they overloaded one side or the other, and I actually was going to call it the first time we scored, but they had overloaded the right side of our offensive line, and that's the way we were going, so we waited till we saw it overload on the left, and we just had a call that Jed gets, and he knows he's pulling it. Murphy knew, and we thought we could, kind of steal a quick point there and execute it really well, and got off to a good start. And like I said, it was just a back and forth battle with two good football teams, and somebody had to win, somebody had to lose, and we were on the unfortunate end of that.
I don't know if you had the intention of it, but it certainly made for interesting gamesmanship between the both of you, because you guys go up by 8 points. Well, then they try to answer the two-point conversion on their own, and they don't get it because your guys' defense makes a stop. And then you go into halftime up two, and then later on in the game, they try to go for two again to try to get 1 point closer, even though they could have still made it a three-point game at the time, and they didn't get it then either. And it was kind of a back-and-forth, almost like a chess match. You could feel it between you and head coach Greg Barrett. But I just can't emphasize enough how entertaining that game was to watch as a spectator. I know you guys came up on the short end and you guys wanted to go much further forward, but I really feel like that was probably the best game in Southern Indiana in the opening round of sectionals.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was fun really to be a part of that, nerve-wracking.
I'm sure.
To be a part of it. You know, but you hate to see a team lose when it's the game that it was, you know. You know, I think both teams had a legit claim where they deserved to win the game, and you know, but that's how sports are. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you get a break here or there, sometimes you don't. And I was really proud of how our guys handled it. You know, there was some adversity there at the end, and our guys kept their composure and what we always say, protect the brand, and they did a really good job of that. When you know, a lot of teams when faced with that kind of situation may not have, and may have had a little bit of a meltdown. And so, you know, as always, really proud of our guys, proud of how they represented, you know, our community and our program, and going on the road and playing in a tough environment. And you know, we felt like we let one slip away, but at the same time, man, so much to be proud of with this group.
Well, and I want to go back to just one more thing. When you go into halftime and it's only 15-13, what was your thought as a head coach there? Are you thinking, hey, this game's going to pick up and points are going to be scored, or are you thinking that you guys can keep it in a low-scoring ground-and-pound type of game?
Well, we were frustrated with how the half ended. You know, we had a field goal blocked. Felt like the kid was clearly offsides. You go back and you watch it on film, and I know the officials don't have the luxury of seeing that, but the kid was clearly offsides. But the more frustrating part going into that is I don't know if you noticed up in the booth that the play clock kept cutting off and on.
Yeah, I was up there.
And multiple times we were asking our official on our sideline, are we using the play clock or are we not? Mm-hmm. And if we're not, we got to turn it off because, you know, I got guys in the booth yelling at me saying, hey, you got to get a timeout. The play clock's about to expire. Well, it hadn't been on for, mm-hmm. you know, a series. And so we really couldn't get an answer on if we were using it or not. I had to burn a timeout during that drive that I really didn't want to burn because, you know, I had a coach telling me, hey, play clock's at one, call timeout. So we did. And then we found out that there were still 15 seconds on the play clock that they were keeping on the field. So, you know, frustration with the lack of communication on that end. You know, we felt like we executed pretty well there at the end, though. You know, we had some miscommunication. We actually had a pass called there on the third down where we handed it to Jed. We were supposed to pull it and hit Remy down the middle. But with the chaos that kind of ensued, we didn't. Some of them got it communicated. Some of them didn't. So there were some opportunities there. But I was really proud with, you know, we got tackled in bounds. This is something we work on all the time, running our field goal team out there with no timeouts. Everybody got set. I felt like we blocked it fairly well. You can't account for a guy who's coming off the edge who gets a two-step head start. And so it felt like we should at least been up five. But at the same time, you know, we talked to our guys. Hey, we're up. We're holding the second-leading scoring team in the state to 13 points at halftime. We left some points on the board, so we felt like we were in really good shape. We knew the pace was probably going to pick up in the second half. But at the same time, we felt really good at halftime with how the game was kind of playing out.
And to your point about the play clock, by the way, you weren't the only ones that were frustrated. Many of the South Vermillion fans were yelling at the press box, too. And the poor lady, she couldn't do anything about it. She was trying to turn it off. And while you guys were in the locker room, she actually reset the whole scoreboard, I think it was. And then they were able to get that working, but ended up ditching, like you had said. But it was a great game, nonetheless. And I know that it's certainly a disappointing loss and not the way you guys wanted your season to end. But let's go ahead and step away. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk about the season as a whole and kind of get thoughts on just the senior class graduating and kind of taking a look forward towards next season, because next season does start now. Don't go anywhere, though. The North Posey Football Coaches Show continues live from Straw Scoops right after this break.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hobstadt, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
If you're building or remodeling, then you need a pro. Contact Brad at Becker Heating, Air, and Insulation. Let Brad increase the energy efficiency of your home by installing an HVAC system and spray foam insulation at the same time. And Brad's your go-to expert with 24 years experience diagnosing and repairing all brands. Commercial refrigeration is available too. Becker Heating, Air, and Insulation, 7242 Main Street in Wadesville. Call Brad at 812-499-1324.
Ram announces the best offers of the year. Get 25% off remaining new 2024 Ram 1500s, like a loaded 24 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. Now $44,673, save over $14,000. Get 15% off a loaded new 2025 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4. Only $519 per month. Zero down, sign and drive. Only at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Excludes tax, title, 245, dot fee. Dealer retains applicable rebates. See dealer for details. Excludes previous offers. 25 Ram, 42 month lease, 10,000 miles per year. Zero down, less finance. Was Stellantis Financial with approved credit. Includes two coupons.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
What makes Holder's Furniture Store different? Quite simply, the people. The Holder family name respects their customers by featuring quality brand name furniture, plus providing service on their products. Holder's Furniture strives to win your confidence because your satisfaction is important. Want a little more purchasing power? You may qualify for 12 months same as cash. So if you're shopping for one piece or a whole room, take a couple more minutes and visit Holder's Furniture in Owensville.
It's truck season, and we have something to howl about at Expressway Chevrolet. New 2024 Silverado or Sierra Crew Cab 4x4, 0% APR or $14,500 off MSRP. New 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LT, $24,990. For a wicked good deal, shop ExpressWayChevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana. Together, let's drive.
Price excludes tax, title, and 245 dock fee. Dealer retains all applicable rebates. Trade assistance available on 2010 and newer vehicles. Owner loyalty may apply, 0% for 36 months, and no payments for 90 days must be financed through GMF. Excludes previous offer. See dealer for details.
When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
Nick's Industrial is hiring. Voted one of Indiana's best places to work in manufacturing, Nick's Industrial is a metal fabrication, coatings, and gear and machining company located in Poseyville, Indiana. Are you looking for a stable career where the employer truly cares? At Nick's Industrial, we are always searching for talented team members to join our growing business. If you are interested in competitive pay and benefits, overtime opportunities, and working for a family-oriented company, we encourage you to apply today on our website, nixindustrial.com.
When you're craving something to please your sweet tooth, think Straw Scoops.
Straw Scoops is open at 29 West Main Street in Poseyville. Stop by and try the delicious selection of ice creams. You can get it in a bowl, on a cone, sundaes and milkshakes, and even slushies. It's all at Straw Scoops. Open Monday through Saturday from noon until 9 o'clock, and Sunday from 1 until 9. Straw Scoops on Main Street in Poseyville.
Your vehicle is one of your largest investments, so make sure you take care of it by keeping it clean at Billy's Sparkle and Shine, Poseyville's brand new and only car wash. With one touchless automatic bay, two manual wash bays, and four vacuums to keep your exterior and interior spotless. Billy's Sparkle and Shine also offers fleet account services to business customers. Make sure you take a few minutes and protect your vehicle with a quality car wash at Billy's Sparkle and Shine, 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price. Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon. Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive. When you need to eliminate clutter at home but don't know what to do, call Posey Storage in Poseyville. Posey Storage has three unit sizes to fit your needs. 5 by 12 feet, 10 by 12 feet, and massive 12 by 35 foot units. Posey Storage can also help you out with boat, RV, and camper storage as well, with inside and outside units available. For rental information, call 812-622-1626. Posey Storage, 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
Are your insurance prices going through the roof? Then give us a call today at SOS Insurance Agency and get a free no-obligation quote for your auto, home, or business. With a wide selection of carriers, we can find the right coverage at the right price. That's SOS Insurance Agency, 812-247-0941. Give us a call today. Your bank account will be better off, and you will have a better peace of mind knowing that you have the right coverage from SOS Insurance Agency.
Welcome back to the North Posey Football Coaches Show. This is our season wrap-up show. Final episode of the fall sports season here with head coach Waylon Schenck alongside I'm Jordan Fisher. And let's talk about the season as a whole, coach. 7-3 on the year. All three losses coming to ranked opponents. You had mentioned that of the last now two seasons, all five losses have come against ranked opponents. Certainly nothing to shake your head about. But certainly, a 2-year stretch that you've got to be proud of as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, and we told those guys at the end of the game, you know, it's hard to find words just to kind of say when you're in that situation. But, you know, it was one of the things we talked to them about. I think they're the winningest senior class in the history of North Posey football. And I think they're 38-11 in their career. And a lot of those guys were a part of that. I mean, Gavin Meyer started from day one. Jed Galvin started from day one. Ty Malk was a contributor on special teams from day one. You know, Isaac Lewis is a 3-year starter. Trace Martin's a kid who contributed from day one. And so a lot of guys that have been a big part of the success we've had the last 3 years, or last 4 years, really. And, you know, it's hard to say goodbye to those guys. And but we talked about the legacy they're leaving behind you know, what it means for these younger guys coming up. You know, we got really good numbers in our youth program right now because they've watched these kids and the success they've had. We've got really good numbers and good success at our junior high level because kids want to be a part of the program. And that has a lot to do with, you know, the kids that have represented this program the last 4 years. And couldn't be, as you know, more proud of these guys and how they handle themselves, you know, in wins and losses and things that they do throughout, you know, the community, doing community service. And great group of kids, and they're going to be missed.
Well, I know a handful of those kids too will be going on to play college football somewhere. I know there's a few different schools out there that usually pluck some players from North Posey, but you know, for the other ones that's the last time suiting up. I mean, I've always thought that keeping in mind of what you've done, whether it's been stats wise or just being able to play for so many years, like, you got to cherish those moments. And those are 4 years that I think a lot of that senior class needs to be proud of, because they did help set the foundation. They were a big reason why 4 years ago when they came in as freshmen, that they were a big reason why you kind of had that run to state, because you guys had, you know, that kind of stepping stone type of pattern to get to that ultimate point.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, we preach that a lot about, you know, what look at what you're leaving behind, not what you kind of take from the program, but what you give back and leave with the program. And you know, you love the wins and the championships and the things that these kids have been able to accomplish, but, you know, at the end of the day, what's the legacy you're leaving behind, and kind of what, you know, what have you taught these young kids how to work, how to prepare, how to handle yourself, you know, and then just watching the growth of kids. I mean, I remember Gavin Myers, watching him as a fifth grader, thinking, "Oh my God, how am I going to handle this kid?"
Some of those kids usually pop a little earlier.
And you know, Gavin was a really good football player, but watching him grow up, you know, and I kind of treat him like my own kid. And it's been awesome, you know, watching the work that a kid like Ty Malk has put in to go from a scrawny little kid that couldn't stay healthy in junior high to, you know, just an ultimate competitor. And, you know, I can go up and down the list. I remember when Parker Carter moved in from Paoli, you know, as a freshman, he was just kind of lost. I mean, he was struggling academically. He was struggling with getting himself to school, and he found a home here at North Posey, and has thrived and has became a kid that's going to be successful. So, you know, you love the football moments and you love the memories you make on the field, but, you know, we're trying to raise men at the same time, and I'm really proud of what these kids have grown up to be.
I think you've done a pretty good job of that, and I think a lot of credit goes to the parents, too, of those kids.
Absolutely.
Because I know I'm friends with a handful of the kids' parents on Facebook, and they're just about as supportive of anybody else on the team as well as their own kid. I see the number of times I see one parent commenting on another parent's photo. Of course, you saw a lot of those on Friday night after the loss, the last time suiting up. It just hits a little bit different.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about some of these kids is, you know, we did some team votes last night with our awards, just amongst our team. Who's our team MVP? Who's our defense MVP? Who's our mental attitude winner? And, you know, when you start looking at kids' ballots, it's real easy. You know, it'd be real easy for a kid like Jet Galvin to vote for himself for some of these boards, or Ty Malk to vote. And I look at their ballots, and they don't vote for themselves. They give their teammates all the credit, even when they deserve a lot of it. And, you know, I think that's kind of just how they were raised. I think that says a lot about the parents that they've been brought up by, and the type of people they are. And you can go up and down the list of kids that are pretty humble, especially some of them that have been as successful as they have. And that's awesome to see. But like you said, that goes a long way with how they've been raised.
Well, and one of those kids that I know you just said that they don't really give a lot of credit to themselves, they give it to everybody else, is Judd Galvin. And I think it'd be malpractice not to talk about what he did for North Posey football on the field as well as off the field. But he finished his career at 5,162 rushing yards, which is obviously the record. He broke it earlier in the year, but first player to reach 5,000 rushing yards in North Posey history. But you also told me he had 1,225 receiving yards. Add those yards up, 6,387, and then 95 total touchdowns in 4 years, and he missed a good chunk of one of those seasons with an injury.
He missed four games with an injury, and there's a lot of those games where he didn't play second half. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, I mean, what he was able to do, you know, numbers-wise is unreal. Being over 5,000 rushing yards, he's number one, you know, in the history of our school. The 1,225 puts him number sixth all time in receiving yards. I think he has 60 receptions, which is like eighth best all time. He finished his career with 187 tackles from the safety position, which was top 10 in his career. I think he had 9 career interceptions, which was eighth best. You know, and he likes to remind me he threw for 3 touchdown passes, so he should get a count.
So I guess 98 total touchdowns when you add those touchdowns. 3 in.
Yeah, he likes to remind me that I think he's as proud of those 3 passing touchdowns as he is those 95 rushing. But just, man, if you've never been around the kid, as impressive he is as a player, he's more impressive as a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's made a smart decision with where he's going to go play at the next level. He's committed to play at Taylor, which is a smaller Christian school that I think he will thrive from day one. I think he'll fit in really well there. I know their coaching staff has made him a huge priority in their class. And I think that's what he was looking for, someone that appreciated him and valued the education and you know, valued just the way of life that he wants to live and the way he carries himself. He's a quiet kid, cares about his teammate, but always puts the program first. And in today's world, that's hard to do. I mean, a lot of these kids are all about how many likes they can get on social media and this and that, and Jed doesn't care about that. Jed cares about winning and being a good role model for the younger teammates, and he's been the ultimate Viking.
So now as we move and put 2024 in the rearview as the season, you start to now move towards 2025, because as a coach, you got to start planning a little bit more now going forward. But let's start with the next step. So let's start with the banquet. When is the football or the fall sports banquet?
We will do our banquet at some point before Thanksgiving. Not sure yet when. I got to look at a schedule and figure out, you know, boys basketball getting ready to kick off, and girls basketball is going, and boys and girls wrestling is going. We got swimming kicking off. So trying to find a night where there's no events and being able to get all the kids there, because I think it's really important, you know, that we do celebrate these guys one last time and do it the right way. So you want everybody there. So we'll figure that out. But you're right. I mean, our off season starts pretty quick. As much as you want to take some time off and give the kids time off, our kids don't want time off, and that's kind of been the impressive thing. You know, we turned equipment in yesterday, and coaches are sitting around talking, and I walk by the weight room, and there's four of our younger kids in there lifting after school, and it says a lot about their commitment, and I think it also says a lot about what these older kids have taught them. Mm-hmm. You know, hard work is going to get you where you need. There's no shortcut, and a lot of these guys see a lot of opportunity with some of these seniors graduating, that it's their turn. And, you know, as a program, we want to reload. We don't want to have mm-hmm. a year off where we're struggling, and I think we've been able to stack some classes now to where we've, you know, our seventh grade team went undefeated this year. Our eighth grade team lost one. We had a solid junior high, our JV season, even with a bunch of those freshmen and sophomores we pulled up. So, you know, you got solid groups just back to back to back to back with good numbers. And, you know, the sky's the limit, and these guys are really excited about getting started again.
So that reminds me, when we went and did this show back in the summer for a midsummer update is what I like to call it, got to talk to Ty Monk, and you had mentioned that Ty was one of the leaders in the weight room during the summer, and you had mentioned how he came in as a scrawny kid but then turned out a completely different player, both physically and just on the field and mentally and everything else as a leader. You talk about the kids getting in the weight room early and the impression they leave on that. Who do you think is going to be that next guy, or who are you going to challenge to be that next guy to kind of take that leadership role?
Well, I mean, you look to seniors, and unfortunately, we don't have a bunch of them coming back, right? I mean, I think our junior class currently has five kids, and you know, some of those guys, it's not really natural for them to be leaders. Mm-hmm. They're quiet kids. My son being one of them, and he comes in and he'll go to work, but he's not a vocal leader. You know, you gotta find one or two guys. I think Landon Crawford, as a senior, could be very vocal. The kids respect him. And you know, the way he carries himself. Seth Gentile is another guy who puts a lot of time into the weight room that these guys can lean on. And then you're going to have to look at our junior class. And Cade Mock's one that had somewhat of a breakout year this year. Knows the expectation. I mean, he's been there right along with his brother, mm-hmm. you know, in the weight room. Corey does a great job, their dad, of pushing those guys. And so they know how to lead. But it'll be interesting to see who steps up. You know, it may be some sophomores that come in and step up. But Carter Schickel's another one that has played, you know, for a 15-year-old kid, has played a lot of snaps at the varsity level, and he's only a sophomore. So he's another guy that, you know, we're looking to really, really step up and take some of these guys under his wing and get them ready to compete at a high level next year, because we're graduating a ton of talent. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of excitement in our program, what we see every day with some of these young kids that we know are really close to being ready.
Now, you guys had 17 seniors graduate last year. I think you guys have 15, right, this year that's leaving the program. So that's quite a few numbers. That's quite a few players. But it seems like you guys have built a really good program top to bottom. I know you take a lot of pride in building at the youth level, and you're starting to see the fruits of that labor as you – I think you had mentioned the freshman class this year was your first flag football class.
Yeah, and that's something that we really take a lot of pride in is, man, there's a spot for everybody in a football program. And, you know, you don't have to be the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, but you could find some role on the football field that can help the program, and it can help you as a person kind of become a part of something that's really bigger than you. And, you know, we've got some guys that do that day in and day out. I mean, we snatched up a kid like Ethan Ashby mm-hmm. Out of PE. We saw he could kick a little bit. And
he turned out to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, look at the impact he's had on our program. Mm-hmm. And he's only a sophomore. You know, I look at a kid like Luke Garrison, and I don't know if many of you guys know Luke, who wears number 58 for us, but, I mean, Luke has found a role to help our football program, and it hasn't really been on the field during games. But, I mean, he does so many things off the field, during practice, in the locker room, and he is so proud of what he does, and he takes so much pride in doing it to the best of his ability, and that's really what's cool about a football program. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many opportunities to be a part of something, and I think that's what kids are starting to see in our community, in our school, is that, you know, go be a part of this thing, because, you know, it's about making memories, it's about being there with your buddies. And you never know with hard work how good you can be, and I think you're starting to see that. So we talked about 17 seniors graduated last year and 15 this year. We're trying to get that to where that's the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got here, we had one. I think we had a class of 4 seniors, and then a couple of years ago, we had a class of 2 seniors. That's when you really struggle, is when you have those small numbers. Right now, our numbers, you know, if you look even down to the 3rd and 4th grade level, are really good all the way through. And we got a small senior class coming back next year, but after that, we are 20 deep pretty much in every class.
Well, and I think going back to your point too, football is the consummate team game. It's the ultimate team game. You know, even if you're not on the field, you can be a big part of that team. Is kind of what you're talking about, and I think that goes for all sports.
Absolutely, yeah.
Being on the back end of the roster doesn't necessarily mean that you're not a valuable piece of it. And so to be able to get so many kids to buy in, I think that's such a big thing. So going forward now, as you enter into the off-season portion, when will you guys start your weightlifting program?
Well, you know, the cool thing we got going is we lift year-round with our strength and conditioning program during the school day. So, you know, all of our athletes lift day, every day. But we're going to start our really intensive off-season program for football when we come back from Thanksgiving break. And that's a little early for us, but, you know, for people who don't know how we do what we do, we have a pretty extensive program that is all based on incentives. So we do a summer trip, usually in June, middle of June, that we take every kid who qualifies. You know, we pay for them to go. You know, the last couple of years we went whitewater rafting. Mm-hmm. This year we're looking at a little bit of a different thing that's going to involve some team building, you know, some playing some paintball, going zip line and doing some things, camping, that gives us the opportunity to really know these kids. We don't talk much football when we do that. It's usually just get to know the kids, you know their families, know their life stories, so that we're all about building relationships with them. But that program starts, and they got to do a lot of things. I mean, one, they got to be good student athletes. You know, they got their academics, get them certain number of points. Their attendance and off-season program gets them a certain number of points. Community service, you know, we do some 7-on-7 in the winter and the spring. We do some lineman academy. So we ask a lot of them, and in return, we give a lot. And this community has been so generous to us through our fundraising efforts that allow us to take these kids on this team building thing. And, you know, it's really cool when you go on these trips. You go with these, spend 2 or 3 nights overnight, and, you know, every year we have a couple of kids come up to us and say, "Coach, this is the best day of my life." And I think we take it for granted a little bit that, you know, some of these kids don't get these opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm blessed and fortunate to have a good job where, you know, I can take my family on vacation. So some of these kids, you know, you take them camping and backpacking for a weekend and go whitewater rafting, and it's stuff they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And they're getting that opportunity through hard work and through community support. And, you know, I think that's what kind of sets our program apart from some other schools. You know, it's about more than football.
It's about being not only good on the field, but yeah, also off the field. And I want to highlight one player that we've talked about a couple of times this year, but Cade Beaker is like the ultimate story about somebody that can come and join a football program late in their high school career and still have a ton of success. I know just about how he, 5th grade, he just decided this wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And then he decided to come back junior year, and all of a sudden, senior year, he was a standout player, having a breakout season. Looked like he played football for 12 years.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he had a pretty good year last year as a junior. Mm-hmm. And had no idea what he was doing. You know, he just
got a pick six. I butchered his name. I'll never forget myself for that.
Yeah, but I mean, he overcame a lot last year with just pure effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, just played so hard and prepared his body so well that even not knowing a ton about football, he was able to be successful and successful in a really on a really good team. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just being the unselfish kid that he is, you know, we went to him this year and said, "Hey, we really need a defensive end." And I know you play DB and wide receiver, but we really need a defensive end. And, you know, he's like, okay, whatever you need, and asked a few questions, worked really hard, came in early, stayed late, working on, you know, D-line moves because he had never played there. And then he would do that, and then he'd go over and run a bunch of routes. But, man, he is a weight room junkie. I think he probably put on 20 pounds in the off season. He did it with just good nutrition, eating right, and living in the weight room. And I you know, what he brought to our team from a personality standpoint, just from an energy standpoint, is something that was unmatched from anybody else. But you know, we were blessed to find him. He was kind of one of those diamond in the rough kids, mm-hmm. that we talked into coming out, and just you know, was a difference maker for us.
Well, I know the season wasn't exactly how you envisioned it or how you wanted it to end, but a 7-3 season, certainly nothing to scoff at. And as you had mentioned, only losing 5 games in 2 years, including a trip to Lucas Oil. It's been a good couple seasons. So that'll wrap up the 2024 North Posey Football Coaches Show. Again, I want to thank you for coming on here throughout the year. I want to also thank Sean Fisher, who is on here, as well as Jed Galvin. And we've had a couple guests even last year with some of the other assistant coaches and players. I'm always appreciative of everyone that will take their time and join us here on a Monday or a Tuesday night.
Absolutely, man. We love doing this, and this is what being part of a small community is all about. And we're really grateful for the opportunity.
Well, that's going to do it here. We'll wrap this one up, and we'll talk to you again on the North Posey Football Coaches Show next season. We'll probably do a midsummer update again, I think that'd be a pretty good thing to do. But don't worry about it. You'll hear myself and Chris Moreland throughout the basketball season as well, as basketball is right around the corner, and it feels like there is no stopping from fall to winter. So anyway, we'll talk to everyone later. So thank everyone for tuning in throughout the Coaches Show and all of our broadcasts throughout the season. Everyone have a good night.
You've been listening to the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW. North Posey football all season long is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Becker Heating, Air, and Insulation, Expressway Jeep, Crane Credit Union, Holder's Furniture, Expressway Chevrolet, JT's Hardware, Nick's Industrial, Smith Ceiling and Asphalt Maintenance, the Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, and the Coaches Show is hosted by Straw Scoops. Follow the North Posey Vikings all season long on 98.9 WPIW, your home for the Vikings.